Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inspiration Nation, your destination for inspiration, with your host, Teresa Morrow, the author's cheerleader. Inspiration Nation shares inspiration from the world of words and is the place where connection comes from life experience and personal stories. Inspiration Nation Radio is proud to bring you authors, writers, speakers, and leaders from different walks of life to empower and inspire you to live from your best self. Inspiration Nation, your destination for inspiration. And now, welcome to the show with your host, Teresa Morrow, the author's cheerleader.
Well, welcome, welcome everyone to another edition of Inspiration Nation. I am your host, Teresa Morrow. And today with me, I have Mara Sweeney, who is an author, a podcaster, and a Huffington Post contributor who inspires others to live happy inside out. Hi, Mara. How are you this morning?
I am great, Teresa, and thanks for having me on your show today.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. I'm so excited to have you. And we're talking about one of my favorite and most interesting subjects, I think, one of my favorite, is happiness. You know, it seems easy for us sometimes to say, oh, I'm happy, but I think there's more to it, don't you?
I agree, and I think I've spent a lifetime in pursuit of it and learning what the more in happiness really is.
Yeah, I think it's not. So we can just say, you know, because when somebody greets you, and, oh, how are you doing? Oh, I'm good. You know, I think that sometimes we kind of skim over it, but to really have that happiness in our life, like you say, I think it takes some practice, wouldn't you say?
I would say maybe, right, practice, commitment, mm-hmm. and even an understanding of what happiness is. Like, sometimes people can think they're happy because something great just happened. They won the lottery. They, you know, something happened to them in the moment. But I focus in on happiness as a state of being rather than always having our emotions affected by every little thing that happens in the outside life. I work on the inside, which is why my mantra is living happy from the inside out. What are our thoughts like? What's our internal dialogue? How do we view ourselves within the world? Where do we find our peace? And that's kind of where I go in most of my writings.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of writing, you know, you started out, you know, in the political science. I mean, that's where your degree is. And, you know, you went to law school. And then you said, I don't know about that. Tell us a little bit, share with the listeners a little bit how you came to do what you're doing now versus what you were doing.
Well, it's probably part of a life journey, a life story, and one that is worth repeating publicly because everyone has their own story. In my case, yes, I was a political science major at Boston College. I continued on at Seton Hall Law School, and that whole career bent was designed for me when I was growing up. In fact, my best friend said to me, Mora, you were groomed from an early age to be a New Jersey lawyer. Well, it may sound like a wonderful pursuit, and it is for those who have it in their heart to do that because it calls upon their passions, their interests, and what makes them happy. But for me, living in New Jersey and practicing law where I would have to favor one person over another ran contrary to my personality, my interests, and my very soul. I was more of a creative, and I was a very fully embracing personality that wanted everyone included. So the reason why that backstory is interesting or of interest in terms of how I am here now is that that took place decades ago. And I realized at the midpoint, I was feeling very drained and feeling very distant from my own personality, interests, and soul. And I thought, oh my gosh, I cannot do this for the next 40 years and then hope to retire to Florida, which is where I wanted to live. So I got off that path. And this is where many of your listeners might relate to this. Oftentimes, many of us are put on a path or put into a box or a cookie cutter mold that maybe other people or society think is really good. But if it doesn't really light us up from within, then it's not going to help us to be happy and authentic in life. So back then, this was like the early 80s, I ended up leaving law school and I thought, all right, I know I'm not happy with a future career as a lawyer in New Jersey, but what is it that will make me happy? What is it that I've got within me that really needs to find an outlet? What skills and talents, what was I made and designed for? And so, believe it or not, Teresa, all of that that happened in my growing up years has worked so well together for today because it's everything I'm about. I took my own journey to find out what kind of things made me happy in life, and I ended up in the business world and did very well working collectively with a lot of people and developing people for a common good rather than, let's say, a divided one when it comes to practicing law. And now what I do in my third act as a midlife cultural journalist is I share lots of stories, inspiring pieces. I have my own book series called The Art of Happiness. I've also got a podcast series. And everything I do is designed to inspire people to remember themselves from within, to connect with who they are on the inside, and then to live that out. And in my mind, that makes for people that are happier, more confident, less likely to be angry or even critical of others around them because they're too busy enjoying their own life. So I love what I do.
It sounds like it. I love that.
I do.
It sounds like you found your art of happy.
Teresa, I really did. And you know, it's a funny thing that comes to mind with me. I really am my word. I embody it. It's been my life pursuit. Since I was little, my goal growing up was I wanted to be happy, and I wanted to be, in a sense, at a party that included everyone. So here I am in my mid-50s. It's taken me a while, but each step along the way I felt was a like a little stepping stone to a bigger picture that I would be ready for now, which is why I write publicly as Maura for You, because I'm really for everyone's happiness.
And anybody who has met Maura, and I can contest to this, will know that she does, you know, walk a talk, talk a walk, whatever. It's you'll know Maura when you see her and you meet her. She's amazing, and she does really embody happiness. You really do, Maura, and it's beautiful to see. You are a ball of happiness, and you always have a smile on your face. And but getting to a little bit more deeper, I wanted to ask you, for those days that may not be so happy, maybe something happens, maybe you just don't feel so great or something, how do you find the happy in that? And how do you want to share with other people about how can they find the happy when maybe things aren't going so great?
Teresa, that is such an excellent question because that is where the rubber meets the road. That's our reality that we deal with every day. We're going to be disappointed. We may have curveballs sent our way. We may feel like loss at a certain point. Maybe certain aspirations we had are thwarted for a time. But the question you ask is so central to why I refer to this as the art of happiness. Everything I deal with comes from the mind. And here's a good way to look at it. If you look at the world and your sense in the world, do you ultimately see yourself as a victim of the world or a beneficiary? And believe it or not, there could be 10,000 potential things that could happen to any of us in a particular day. So we could either look at everything as being a highly complex world of what can happen, or we could simplify it and say, what is my real belief system about what's behind the world and the cosmos? Is it goodness and benevolence, or is it evil and division? And I, since I was a little girl, maybe I'm the eternal optimist, I really believe in ultimate benevolence. So every time something goes on in my day that doesn't go my way, or that surprises me, or that could even thwart me or try to discourage me, I'll always say, you know something? This is working together for good, because I am an ultimate beneficiary. And do you know, Teresa, I have learned this over the course of a half century. The way in which we see ourselves on the inside and our belief system ends up becoming a reflection on the outside. So in other words, whatever we really believe in our heads is what we're going to experience in life. And if people see themselves as a really tiny victim of life, they're going to find themselves constantly daunted. But if they believe in their minds that they're a beneficiary of what seems to be good in the moment and what doesn't seem to be good in the moment, ultimately that becomes their life experience. So this art of happiness is really a retraining of the mind. How do we deal when things don't go our way? Well, you know what? This is a good thing. Maybe if we are being set back, it's because we're going to have a chance to exercise our skills a little more, to step up our game, to become stronger, more courageous, more skilled. Or we're going to learn a great life lesson, and we're going to grow from it. So that's the art. It's, do I see myself as a victim, or do I see everything behind the scenes as being benevolent, and I am a beneficiary within that cosmos?
Well, that's an interesting way of looking at it, and I can see how that can work. It's coming from that positive mindset, and I do think that that has a great can have a great impact on us. I know that for certain moments, it may not work at, a certain time.
Exactly. In the moment,
I can see,
you don't feel good.
Yeah. In the moment, it may be kind of hard. But like you said, if, you can step away and give yourself time to have that human piece of it, and then give it time and space, then I think sometimes I've seen that happen even in recent events, around me and for my own life, that, stepping back from certain things and having time to do that has allowed me to say, oh, there's a bigger life lesson here. There's a bigger thing that I'm going to learn from this. My mom passed in June of last year, and it's interesting that this conversation is about happiness, because once she passed and, a couple months went by, I said, the way I reflected on it was, okay, what do I want to do now? How do I move forward? But it was like, I want to be happy, and what are those things that are going to continuously make me happy in my life? And I actually even wrote a list at one point. So it's interesting that you say that, because that's something that, even though that was very hard, there are bigger lessons that, we can learn from stuff like that, I think.
Teresa, you know what, that's a powerful one, because you lost someone who was close to you. But do you see how you also had to choose one day, and then you had to stick with your choice? There's a time for grieving, but then there's a time to say, okay, so now what? And I'm glad you brought this up, because this is a deeper question when it does come to real happiness, as opposed to happiness in the moment, is that it is an internal choice. And sometimes if we are grieving, if we are suffering loss, it takes us a decision, and then it takes the decision over and over and over again until we retrain our mind, our commitment level, and we rise up. And I would ask you, Dad, do you feel routinely differently than you did a year ago when you first lost your mother? Do you feel that you're at another level now compared to where you were?
Yes, right. Yep,
it takes time. I mean, I think we'd be lying if we said, oh, sorry, all you have to do is say once, I choose to be happy, now everything in life is perfect. If you look at me, it's funny, as your listeners are listening in today, I hope that they choose to do this. They could go to my website, which is Mora, 4letteru.com, and click on the bar that says About Maura, because it's very easy to take a look at my first picture when I was in law school, and I would consider that my low point. Here I was, 23 years old, doing everything I was told, everything that was supposed to be good, everything that should have made me happy, and I wasn't. Could see my face. I was like the walking dead, very vacuous, very, there was no life in me. And you look at me now in my mid-50s in the very next picture, and you see vibrancy. That, those two pictures, Teresa, will give people an idea, a visual of what practicing happiness on a routine basis can do for an individual. It literally ignites us all from within. And if you think about a world where people do choose happy, they do believe that they're a beneficiary, and then they go out in the world and they start interacting with others, what you end up with is a greater culture and a greater social atmosphere where everyone has lifted up to another place. It's like a higher place, a more noble place, a kinder and a gentler and a brighter world. And I really truly believe in it. I wouldn't be spending, you know, my midlife years committed to this had I not spent a lifetime pursuing it myself. So check out those pictures. You'll think, oh, Maura, this can't possibly be you back in 1982, but it was.
It's interesting, too, you know, how you talk about, like, the way it was. And one of the questions I wanted to ask you was, with that transition, and I know that some people may be going through that right now, and I have a colleague of mine who has been working at a company and who had just got laid off, and she is in her midlife years too. I wanted you to take the time for a few minutes and share with people who may be going through that transition, any really transition, because you made a big transition to do this. What is your advice to those who may be in the midst of transition to bring out the happiness?
You know, your question is such a great question because it affects so many people in so many different times in their lives. We were discussing this last Friday at a seminar I was running, and the seminar that I was at was for midlife women, and we talked about the very word you used, transition. When we are accustomed to one form of life, in this case, you were speaking about your friend who lost her position, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
We get so accustomed to that form of life that when it's removed from us, it's very easy to get totally depressed because we've lost our footing. We've lost, in a sense, our identity and everything that is familiar to us, the way in which we view the world, the relationships we have, the activities that we have. Now, this is funny that you use the word transition. I went through that transition. I had a career in corporate America, followed by a time when I was at home with our daughter and I was a homeschooling mom, helped my husband build up a business on the side. And as our daughter grew older and no longer needed my help, and we closed the business and we're starting up something new, Teresa, I was in a place of transition because suddenly the busy woman in me, who always had something to do when she woke up in the morning, didn't know what to do. And I'm telling you, do you ever hear the old expression that says, oh my gosh, they're twiddling their thumbs? I could remember sitting out on my lanai on a chair, rocking back and forth, twiddling my thumbs. I thought, oh, I am not made for this. But a friend of mine, and I was not happy, was like, oh my gosh, it was so uncomfortable. But a very good friend of mine said this. She said, Maura, you're going through transition. And she said, you know, when you're having a baby and you go through the various stages of labor, she said, transition is the most painful. You cannot go backwards. And you don't know when that baby's going to be delivered. And that really helped me. She laughed, and I thought, you're right. But I would say this, and this is one thing that I can offer to other people. I'm a living picture of someone who did go through transition. I pretty much gave up everything I had in my previous life in order to set out and do something new. Sometimes that something new is not all that clear, believe it or not, I didn't set out to be more for you podcaster and blogger. At the time, there was no such, well, if there was such a thing as blogging, I didn't know about it. But I started with YouTube videos, and as I started growing and learning new things and setting out in a new business arena, I made YouTube videos with reflective questions, so as I was learning, I was bringing viewers along with me. Sometimes, Teresa, we have to take those times where we were going to lament maybe for a while and grieve what was behind us, but then in the same way we choose, okay, I don't know what's new, but I'm going to put one foot in front of another, and if it doesn't work, I'm going to take another step in another direction. And every day I'm going to try something new, meeting new people, going to meetups, whatever it may take to follow those things that we like and that we think we're interested in, until bit by bit and piece by piece, we begin to build up a new version of our lives. And that same woman who lost her career can look at what happened, which seems to be a defeat, as an opportunity to choose a new and happy existence from the inside out, where she could pursue things she loves. And in the end, she'll be happier.
Right. And I think that's true. But I do agree with you. Sometimes the first little block of time is a little scary, it's a little treacherous. But
yeah.
I wanted to do before we have to go today is I wanted to share with the listeners a little bit more about what you're going to be doing in the next, you know, couple months, or, you know, what do you have coming up for Miss Mora? What's going on?
Well, thank you for asking. Very exciting things for a woman who we just described, who didn't want to be a lawyer yet, didn't know what she wanted to do. And when I started out doing my Mora for You activities, I had no idea that I would end up next month in the Balkans, where I will be addressing two universities and also one international human resource conference on leadership. And do you know, in all three cases, I am discussing the same topic. It's how do we live happily and authentically, meaning that we follow what we enjoy in life and what comes from within and what our talents are. How do we do that on a routine basis? So I was this midlife woman reinventing herself from the zero point. And now here I am invited to two universities and an international conference to be a guest speaker. So it's stretching for me, but I'm so excited, Teresa. I look at my years right now as I don't have anything holding me back. And I might not have been a New Jersey lawyer, but I'm a very happy midlifer as Mora for You at moraforyou.com.
That is so awesome. You're such an inspiration to so many people, you know, with your story and your, because it is, it's very, you know, life can throw you curveballs, and sometimes you can throw life curveballs too. And it's kind of like, that's what you did. You said, you know what, it's not making me happy from the inside out. And so you kind of changed your destination and your destiny by looking at what made you happy and what was going to make you happy. And I think that's so important for people, if they can, you know, find those things. And sometimes it's little, like you said, little bit by bit, you know, it doesn't have to be all at one time, and take those steps forward. Share with people too, where they can find out. You've given your website a couple of times, but where can they find out about the books and your podcast? Is everything on Mora for You?
You know what? Mora, number four, letter U.com is the main destination where they can find not only all of my blogs and my videos, they can also connect with me on my podcasts. I'm on iTunes and Stitcher. Where they could also look under Mora Sweeney. And if there are people here that enjoy regularly going to the Huffington Post, I contribute there frequently, but not as often as I do elsewhere. Look up Mora Sweeney, Huffington Post. But if they go to Mora, number four, letter U.com, every resource and every connecting point is there for them. And I'll tell you, Teresa, if I can be at a point in my life right now, or past several decades, in terms of learning how to live happily from the inside out, can help other people to do the same and to do it more quickly, I would be exponentially more happy. So thank you for allowing me to share this message with you and your listeners.
Oh, you're welcome. I really was excited to be able to have you on the show and to share your message, because that's what brings me happiness. So I'm just happy, you know. So
we are. And by the way, I forgot one more thing. My Art of Happiness books, duh. They're also on the site. And you know what? If your listeners would like a free book from my Art of Happiness series, they would write to me at maura@maura4u.com and reference your show. I will send them a free PDF from one of my book series, and I think they'll get a kick out of it because I write in story form, and people tend to see themselves in stories as well.
Yes, I was sharing with you earlier, I read one of the stories that was really awesome about your dance. When you decided that you were going to dance for the first time and you joined a group, and it's a very, very cool story, Miss Maura. It's very awesome. I love that story. It's very cool how you, again, put yourself out there and did it.
Yeah, it almost reads like a bad episode of I Love Lucy, but it had a very happy ending. And I feel like, you know what, I love what I do. And if people, and they have, if people could come along with me on my journey, it makes their journey more hopeful, more encouraging, and more possible. And so this is what truly, if you could see my face on the other end of the line, Teresa, I am all smiles. Imagine waiting a lifetime to do what I do today. I am thrilled to share all of my happiness and all of my happiness inspiration with others. So please have them write to me, maura@maura4u.com, and ask for a free ebook, and I'd love to send one.
Oh, that's so generous of you. And yes, you know, listeners out there, please do that. That would be, if you get to meet her, she's amazing. I love you. I think that you are an inspiration, and you are the epitome of happiness. I mean, anytime I've ever seen you, you have the biggest smile on your face. And I can see it now from across the phone almost. I can almost feel your smile. So it's awesome because I can, like I said, I can almost feel it. So it makes me happy. It makes me smile more. So, which is so lovely. It's a great way to start the day. So I appreciate you for that. And thank you, listeners, for being a part of the show today. And remember, everyone, be the inspiration that you wish to see in the world. And again, thank you so much, Maura, for being here. Before we go, we have about 2 minutes left. What is one takeaway you want to leave the listeners with?
Oh, and I thought we were ready to say goodbye. What is one? It'll be what I mentioned earlier. Teresa, ask yourself, do I see myself as a victim or as a beneficiary? Every time something doesn't go right, am I a victim or am I a beneficiary? If you could start seeing yourself and believing yourself as a beneficiary of a world that is benevolent, you keep doing it. That will be your lifetime takeaway in terms of bringing you into greater and greater realms of happiness and joy. And I kid you not, because I'm living it out.
Yay! And she is. Thank you again, Maura. Thank you, listeners, so much. And I will talk with you guys next week. Well, bye, everyone. Bye, Maura.
Bye. Thanks, Teresa.